meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the SOAC Accountability Subgroup meeting number 19 on the 2nd of February 2017 at 1900 hours UTC. My name's Cheryl Langdonore. I'm one of the co-rapporteurs. I'm joined today already by Steve DelBianco. Fazanay Bardi may be able to join us. She does have some work commitments. If she doesn't join us during the call, we will note her as an apology. Is there anyone else's apologies that need to be noted at this time? Anyone who's sent them to the list, staff will capture. I'd like to ask now if there is anyone who is only on the audio channel and not in the Adobe Connect room. Not hearing anybody identify themselves at this time, we will take our roll call from the Adobe Connect room, and staff, would you pursue anonymous to find out whether they have a second name to that very interesting description. The other thing that I need to do in terms of ministrivia, which, yes, we are keeping to a minimum, is ask, is there anybody who needs to make an update to their statement of interest, and to remind you all that all members and participants are required to lodge a statement of interest. If you have difficulty doing so, staff can assist you. Not hearing anybody suggest they have an update. I'll now call for any comments on what is a particularly lean agenda. Now we're doing single topic discussions. Is there anyone who wishes to bring up any other business in advance now, so that we know it's to be put in time for the agenda? I will ask at the end of the call as well for any other business. Again, not hearing anybody. We're zooming along here. That's pretty much it for call administration, other than the fact that I would request that you identify yourself when you speak to make an intervention, and that you make sure you speak perhaps articulately would help. I was trying to say slowly and clearly. Some other hybrid word started to come out. I apologise for that. At this point, I'm now going to move on to noting that all the action items and notes from our last call held on the 26th of January can be found on the link in the agenda. The only action item of note from that was for us to encourage more people to join the drafting team, number one, and to continue the commentary and input into the work of that drafting team, as well as the master reporting document. A week's gone by, and we certainly need to thank Fazanay for a considerable amount of work that she's done on documents that we will be discussing under agenda item three, that she has sent to the list, I think, about 2 days ago in most people's time zones. Moving on to agenda item number two, any updates? If anyone has any updates from any of the activities in the few days that's passed between one meeting and the other, now's the time to bring them forward. Obviously, things that aren't on the agenda. Not being besieged by any of those, I'm going to jump at what must be a record time of under 5 minutes into our primary discussion, which means we will have plenty of time to look at the topic for today's analysis from our data capture exercise. And today's topic is outreach as an activity, as an aspect of participation. I want to thank everybody who's contributed to the documentation. I want to note in particular the work that our fellow coach Rapportora has done, and I want to hand over predominantly now to Steve. I'll help you handle a few, Steve, but you've got your hand up, you've got the microphone, and it's over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. It's Steve Gialbianco, and Cheryl, I only need a few minutes to tell folks about the edits I made to the transparency part of our capture document due to suggestions that came in and new submission responses that came in since our last call.
Perfect, Steve. It's Cheryl for the record. If you want to just run the update, which I obviously wasn't paying enough attention to the list because I should have got back to that before we moved to three. So finish off item two and then roll into item three at your leisure. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl. The document is in front of you in the Adobe Connect, and you'll see under ALAC, thanks to the efforts of Alan Greenberg, who's got a lot on his plate right now, we got a very detailed response from ALAC. And Alan could benefit from looking at the way we were analyzing the other ACs and SOs, and he was able to target his. And then Alan did the favor also of addressing the risk of capture, internal capture, caboose. That's the kind we're talking about. And you can see the two paragraphs in here where Alan covered capture explicitly. And I appreciate that Alan did that. We did not get similar explicit discussions from the other groups, and I understand why. It's not as if we called it out to say, please include how you address capture. Instead, we just repeated what the bylaws had required from us. And as you know, our bylaw that we're working under said we were supposed to review and develop recommendations for accountability, transparency, and participation that are helpful to prevent capture. Okay. So I appreciate that from the ALAC. If there are errors in how I have summarized the ALAC response, I'm sure that ALAC members will let me know. And then scrolling down on the document, if you do, you get to the section on GNSO Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. Middle of page three. And let me thank Aubrey Doria for preparing and submitting that for the non-commercial stakeholders group. And Aubrey, I pasted in each of the links for things like meeting minutes, members, and executive committee, et cetera, and roster. And pretty much the most transparent of any groups, other than I'm unclear as to whether all of NCSG meetings are open to non-NCSG members. Other than that, I have to say, Aubrey, that everything is published and open, every email list. It looks to be that NCSG is a paragon of transparency. But, Aubrey, if you could clarify, what is the – okay, thank you for adding something on capture, but what is the status on meetings at the NCSG? Open to all or just to members?
This is Aubrey speaking. I think that for the most part, the meetings are not open. Certainly the ones held at the face-to-face meetings are all open. All calls are not necessarily open, but nobody polices them.
Thanks, Aubrey. I'll add that to the
document. So in other words, if I can clarify, so that means that we announce the meetings on our open public list. And right. While the meeting is for members, no one goes around saying, are you a member, to those participating.
When you declare them on the list, Aubrey, and this will come up when you scroll down to the recommendations part, but when you declare them on the list, do you declare at the time to say this is a meeting that is for NCSG members only, or do you make any declaration at all about open versus closed?
While I don't think we have a fully prescribed way in which all the meetings are announced, it changes with every, you know, policy committee chair, with every executive committee chair, with every NCSG chair. I don't remember, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't remember seeing that line. But I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah, this is so on point, because in the recommendations, we may end up saying that it would be a best practice to indicate that a meeting is open to all or open only to members. And then whether a particular regime polices it, as you say, ends up being a matter of discretion. But I'm saying that as a matter of policy, I fully understand that meetings where we're doing elections or debating our position on a public comment are completely inappropriately open only to members of the BC. So not attempting in any way to suggest everything should be open, but we try to pick up a best practice on last week's call, and you'll see it as the fourth bullet, which was, and this is the fourth bullet under draft recommendations, is it says that all meetings should be declared as either open or closed, giving specific reasons for holding a closed meeting. And then we went on, I had already had this in last week, which was during each ICANN meeting, at least one SOAC meeting, face-to-face, as you called it, should be open to public observation. So we can debate the merits of these recommendations, but Aubrey, before I move on, did I capture accurately, so far at least, accurately what NCSG sent in? Okay, I'll take that as a yes.
Sorry, I had to find a mute button. Yes.
Thanks, Avi. And Cahoos, I know your hand is up, but let me try to show you some respect and appreciation, because last week you wanted to be sure that the notion of these independent reviews could be clarified to say that the independent reviews are conducted by outside consultants. So, Cahoos, in the middle of page 4, I added, note that these are required to be independent reviews, this is from the bylaws, and are usually conducted by outside consultants hired by ICANN. So I hope that that helps you out, Cahoos, with that clarification. And then please, everyone, just scroll to the recommendations for transparency, which I just covered, the one with respect to open and closed meetings, and then we'll open a queue on that, starting with Cahoos.
I have another point, but I wish to wait until you finish this, and I have a point about the openness or disclosure. I heard that you said that some constituency, face-to-face meeting is open. There's
no
difference.
Yeah, that's not what I said, though.
No one said that?
I'm sorry, Cahoos. I had said that when you... One of the best practices, if you look at the fourth bullet, I'd be interested to see your ideas on the fourth bullet. It says, quote, this is a draft, because during each ICANN meeting, at least one SOAC meeting should be open to public observation. And that's the recommendation. I'd like to hear your views on that.
Okay. I thought you were
certainly true of the GAC.
The GAC what?
I said it's certainly true of the GAC. Many of your meetings are open to public observation.
All of the GAC meetings are open now. Is there any closed meeting of the GAC?
What? They haven't been telling you about that? I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No, you're right. The GAC is very open to public observation. That's just my American sense of humor, Cahoos. Just kidding.
But my point was something in the same context. We are dealing in the GAC with that Amazon. And on that, I received a message that some of the parties asked for the document. And in the email sent to everybody said that these documents are highly confidential. I don't understand the highly confidentiality of that. And in the email, the chair of the GAC asked permission to release or disclose those highly confidential documents to the party of that Amazon that they want. Otherwise, they say that we lose the GAC advice which was given. So I want to know that whether anyone else or whether there is any definition like that highly confidential document. Thank you.
Thank you, Cahoos. When you look at the analysis of the openness of email lists, I think that gets to the confidentiality. Every group publishes for the public to see whatever they arrive at as their final comment, final advice, or final letters. But the part that falls into potentially confidential realm is the internal email list, or the email archives, as we're calling them. And as far as I can tell, all but one group have both closed and open archives. But as I indicated earlier, the NCSG, Aubrey Doria's group, looks as if the only email list they have is publicly archived. I note that the DAX is not archived publicly, and that email list is where confidential discussions and debate about a position or advice are contained, and there are often email lists where there are attachments that represent interim drafts of positions. And so, Caboose, you ask a good question, like, what are the others doing? And there's a mix of answers to that. But keep in mind that we have a two-step process in this analysis. The first step was to describe what the ACs and SOs do based on their responses to our questions and our own research. And then the second step was to recommend best practices for consideration by all the ACs and SOs if they should wish to follow them. And that is what is on page 4 under transparency. Page 4, there are 6 bullets here of things that we might recommend. And you'll note that we are not in this draft, we are not recommending that all internal emails and document drafts are publicly archived. We're not recommending that. Go on, Caboose.
Yes, thank you.
Caboose, anything else to add or any other questions I can help with? Okay, Cheryl, unless anyone else in the queue has comments on these 6 bullet recommendations on page 4, they will have survived at least 2 readings within our own little SOAC accountability group. And when you determine we've moved far enough along, we can put this aside, move on to the other topics as we start to develop our report for the full plenary. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Steve. Cheryl, for the record. And, yeah, I think that's an absolutely excellent plan. We do have to move on now to hopefully about a half hour or so discussion on the fresh topics for this week. Which, as I said, is outreach as a function of participation. But while I have the microphone, I do note that staff have told me that the person listed as anonymous is only on the phone line, so there is no way that they can contact them to assist them to identify themselves, should indeed they be able to do so. It is, of course, not a requirement that one is identifying oneself in these meetings, but it certainly is a courtesy. So if anonymous is on the phone and is listening and they do feel comfortable, it would be appreciated if they could at some point during today's proceedings identify themselves. And if not, no great tragedy, just a courtesy that most of us tend to use in these calls, where many of us as members have done far more than identify ourselves. We fill out extensive and continuing statements of interest. So with that, Steve, I think I've allowed you to take a small breath. that was a little breather for you. And I'm going to ask if we can now load up the documents that Fazana had forwarded to the list, and we'll dive into the next topic. Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl. That's the same document that's already in Adobe because it included transparency. And there's a topic called participation and one called outreach. And Farzi was kind enough to follow this sort of approach of analyzing the responses and making recommendations. And it's under outreach. It begins on page 5 of the Google Doc. And I want to thank Farzi. I know she's not with us on the call today, but she did a great job summarizing all that. So this is an opportunity for those of us on the call that are part of each group to be sure that this in summary captures our activities on outreach. And someone is typing, and it might be helpful to mute your phone if you're typing on a loud keyboard. Thank you. I'll start us off by saying if you scroll to the BC section, and that lives on page 6, Farzi has a pretty extensive discussion of outreach, and I was the one who prepared the BC's response, and I can tell you it's something we are keenly attentive to, and it's because the BC is, I think, underrepresented by many geographical regions around the world. We have taken our money, our own dues money, and used a significant portion of it, in the order of $10,000 to $15,000, €10,000 to €15,000 a year of our own dues money to help to support events, outreach events, where we try to publicize the importance of participating at ICANN to the business community in different geographical regions that aren't as well represented in the BC. The BC is very strong from Europe and from North America, pretty strong in South America, but we are really trying to increase our outreach in Asia and Africa. We're very strong in Australia as well, but we are always spending our own money and time on outreach. And I'll note that the outreach that we believe is important is geographical. It isn't as if we're after a particular demographic group or a linguistic, speakers of a language. Instead, we want to be sure that we honor our target community, which is the business community, the business registrants and business users. And we believe that has a global reach, because the Internet's a global resource. And that's why those are in there. Now, Caboose, your hand is up. Go right ahead.
Yes, I may be a little bit late, but in one of your recommendations, in one of the bullets, I have some amendments, whether you agree with the amendment or not, or whether it's not time to do that when you talk about SOEC should be declared as either open or closed. I have some amendment for that. Thank you.
Caboose, it's fine with me. If we want to ask everyone to scroll back up to transparency, that is on page 4, everyone, where there are 6 bullets at the bottom. Caboose,
yes.
Which of these bullets do you have comment on?
The bullet 4, all SOAC meetings should be declared as either open or closed. I would suggest that all SOAC meetings should normally be open. And then if it is closed, then continue to have a specific reason. So we should not say it should be normal, it should be either open or closed. We would say it should be normally open. This is the objective, that should be open. I went to one of the meetings of GNSO and they told me that please go out, this meeting is closed. No reason was given. So I would like that it should be normally open. When we say normally, that means we foresee some sort of exceptions, and we should continue that in case of closed meeting, reasons specifically should be provided. This is the change or amendment that I propose. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. So on the 4th bullet, where it now reads, all SOAC meetings should be declared as either open or closed, we would put a sentence in front of that to say that SOAC meetings should normally be open, period.
Yes.
And then the sentence goes on to say all meetings should be declared as open or closed, giving specific reasons for holding a closed meeting. So it's adding a new sentence in front of that one on 4.
Yes, thank you.
I have no objection to that. Thank you, Caboose. I'll ask any objections or comments on making that our best practice. See a check from Cheryl. Give everyone a moment to consider that. So it's a little bit normative in terms of a best practice. We're literally saying the best practice is everything's open, and another best practice is that if it's not open, you should declare it and explain why. Thank you, Caboose. I'll make that edit as well. Thank you. So let's scroll down to outreach. I just gave a brief explanation, I think, adding some color to what was done in the BC. And you'll note that I've tried to distinguish geographical outreach from demographic, gender, age, or linguistic outreach. Since the BC believes the most important thing we have is geographic coverage for the business community. And the business community would obviously reflect, in a particular country, it would reflect the language used by the business community and presumably reflect the demographics of that particular geographic business community. And I say this because the BC's revised charter is out for public comment until the 15th of February, and one commenter suggested there was a lack of French speakers in the executive committee of the BC, which really caught me unawares, as the BC makes no effort to try to deliberately recruit linguistic diversity. Instead, we make it about geographic outreach. Not diversity, but coverage. And if you see the distinction, outreach could be something that's done in order to achieve a diversity goal, or it could be to achieve our target community coverage. And the BC thinks of it in a business-like way. No surprise there, it's about target coverage. So I've gone on long enough. I'd love to hear from other folks on the call who participated at helping to develop their responses on outreach. And then we'll move on to the recommendations. Mark Carvel, I'll note in the chat that you do outreach to the governments who don't yet belong to the GAC, and you do so at high-level meetings, which is a great idea. And, Mark, since you mentioned that, let's take a look at Farsi's summary. And you'll see that she only has one bullet in there from the GAC. Would you like me to add your chat bullet under GAC, Mark?
Yes, thank you, Steve. Mark speaking. Hello, everybody. Well, yes, I think I would like that added if there's agreement. Thank you.
I'm glad to do so. I'll post it in there. Thank you, Mark. Caboose?
Yes, Steve. You referred implicitly to participation and outreach. Are really we on the position to declare that we do every effort for participation and outreach or not?
Good question, Caboose. We have made a distinction between participation and outreach. Outreach is what we're discussing now. And participation, the work hasn't been done yet. The work on participation has not been done. We are doing outreach right now. So we're glad to have someone else from Sub-Team 1 assist us in that.
Is it today or the other day?
We're doing outreach right now. We can't do participation until someone steps up and volunteers to do the work that Farsi and I did with respect to transparency and outreach. So we won't have a discussion of participation until a volunteer on the subgroup does the work.
Yes, but it is a very important issue due to the events happening these days.
Of course it is. Of course it's important, but it's also important for people that join a working group to step up and do the work.
Let me explain. The importance is not general importance. The importance is due to what is going on these days. There is some limitations or restrictions for participation of some people, of some countries. This is not correct.
Thank you, Caboose.
If people cannot travel and cannot enter, this is not correct. So participation should participation, freely participate. And also, if there is any permission of participation from particular government, it is not also correct. So we have to address
that. Is
I'm
true.
Not addressing
that,
now, but please take it into account. Thank you.
We will, and we'll have to be careful, since you're in the GAC, you're aware of this, we'll have to be careful to suggest that we're going to tell any country what it must do or not do with respect to visas that it grants to people to visit that country for physical meetings. I myself have had to obtain visas for many countries that I travel to for ICANN meetings. It's just a fact of life, and it's what a sovereign government may or may not do. All right, any other comments so far on Farsi's work on analysis? If not, we'll move to Farsi's best practices. And they are on page 8. There are 5 bullets on page 8 that Farsi has come up with based on best practices to be gleaned from what the groups have been doing so far. The first was to use newsletters or other communications and publicizing tools. 2, websites or wiki pages to advertise outreach events. The challenge there is how to derive attention to someone's wiki page if they're unaware of what ICANN does or unaware of what the NCSG does. Outreach program committee, mentioning outreach in the bylaws, making it a foundational commitment of an AC or SO, and an outreach strategy. And I would contrast that Farsi's five draft recommendations are at perhaps a less specific language than I had used for transparency, where I tried to make the transparency items a little bit more specific and actionable. I'd love to see what members of this working group think. Should we attempt to make the outreach recommendations a little bit more specific, or are they fine the way they are? Take a cue. All right, Cheryl, seeing nothing, I'm guessing we could count this as a first reading.
You have Greg now.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry. Greg?
Thanks, Greg Chapman, for the record. I think the recommendations in the outreach section could probably be more robust. I think there's an assumption that there's a recommendation for that outreach event should take place, since there's a recommendation to advertise them, but there's no actual recommendation to have them. So I suppose that's a recommendation that should be added. Other than that, I think, you know, it might just make sense to flesh it out a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with these. I'm not sure that I would say they're necessarily best practices. But certainly having an outreach committee of some sort and an outreach strategy, I think, are probably sensible, whether and some sort of communication. But you know, newsletters per se versus websites versus blogs versus other things, that kind of all gets mixed in together. And I guess, you know, questions whether we'd want to also be more specific with what types of outreach, what the goals of outreach are, as well, as opposed to just kind of a tools-based set of recommendations. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Caboose?
Yes. Just a small question. We have, thanks to Farsi for this this issue. I think I see that we have five topics for five recommendations. Do we expect to have a text of recommendation for each of these at a later stage? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Caboose, the bylaws for this group were laid out on page one at the very top, and our task from the bylaws of ICANN is to review and develop recommendations on SOAC accountability. So one of those is to review, and the second is to develop recommendations. And they're including but not limited to improved processes for at least accountability, transparency, and participation that are helpful to prevent capture. So, Caboose, as I think we've discussed for almost 3 months, we do have to both review and develop recommendations. On our last two calls, we decided not to make recommendations highly specific to each group. For instance, we're not going to recommend the BC. You need to make your email archives public. Instead, we are going to develop recommendations in the form of best practices, and we're going to be able to put them out there for the consideration of all the ACs and SOs who may adopt them to the extent that they see that they fit. And we discussed earlier on the call the recommendations about transparency. You yourself added a phrase to the best practice recommendation for meetings normally being open. So what you were doing in that case was helping us with the recommendations part. We were also discussing those five bullets on the bottom of page eight. Those are the recommendations that Farsi has initially drafted with respect to outreach. We'll need to do the same thing on participation and accountability. But we need people to pick up the pen and draft those sections. So I hope that that's clear, Caboose, is that we are being charged by the bylaws to develop recommendations. We're doing it in the form of best practices, as opposed to, you know, diving in and telling the business constituency, here are the five things you need to change. Caboose, does that answer your question?
Yes. but not very clear. I don't know. These five are what? One of them or two of them are quite clear that we have mention of the outreach in the bylaw. But when we say recommendation, do we expect that somebody prepare recommendation? Who recommends to whom and what recommended? Is it only...
Thank you, Gavus.
Yeah.
Okay, and I can answer that for you. Since we are one of the Workstream 2 groups on SO and AC accountability, we're following what the bylaws said. So our group will develop a document. It will go through two readings after we approve it, and that document will include recommendations for best practices. If the plenary of CCWG approves it, it goes out for public comment. We'll get public comment, and it'll be our job to react to public comment. Then those recommendations will go to ICANN's board, and you know that the bylaws for Workstream 2 create a very high threshold for the ICANN board to reject any of these recommendations. We are a special case, though, because anything we are recommending is not a recommendation to the ICANN Corporation. Our recommendations are to the ASOs and ACs in the community. So I'm not exactly sure what ICANN, the corporation, would say about our recommendations. But when our recommendations are out, they will be considered to be the community's recommendations, having been approved through public comment and the ICANN board for Workstream 2. When they're published, I guess you could bring them up at a GAC meeting and say, hey, these recommendations indicate some best practices, some of which we ought to think about adopting. I might do the same in the BC. But there's no obligation on the ACs and SOs to implement the best practices we come up with. But I do think it's completely clear that our charge is to review and develop recommendations. Others?
Yes, but okay, I agree that this is it's not quite clear that you said that this is recommendation to SOAC, and if it is approved after public comment and after everything, it is up to that SO and AC to proceed with the preparation of the recommendation, and once the recommendation is prepared, it is not mandatory to implement that. That is just a recommendation. I don't know whether I understood it correctly or not. Thank you.
Whether we're correct or not, what you said is exactly what I would agree with. The way you just represented it is my perception of what we're up to here. But if others don't agree with Cavus and I, let us know now. Hey, Farzi, welcome. Welcome back. We were all complimenting you on the work done in pages 5 through 8 on outreach. And we were taking comments on the 5 recommendations at the bottom of page 8. One comment that Greg Shatton and I have is that we could add more specificity and action verbs to the 5 recommendations. And as an example, just having the word outreach strategy might be better to say that each SO and AC should have a strategy for outreach on parts of its target community that are not well represented. So far as it's the idea of making the language an action that someone could follow as opposed to a heading item like outreach strategy. And we were doing that. Thank you, Farzi. And then Cavus was asking more questions about the difference between review and recommendation. And prior to you getting on, I was making a big pitch for extra volunteers to take care of participation and accountability, two other topics we have to do with the same level of rigor that you've addressed here. So Farzi, I'd like to turn it back to you if you want to give any more comments on the 4 pages of work you've done on outreach. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'm not sure if you can hear me. We also had connection problem today at Georgia Tech. So what I did was to go through the responses that we received about outreach and kind of like extract the relevant parts. And then I looked over to see what kind of outreach, what kind of responses are out there that not all of the SONACs include, for example, some of the SONACs have newsletters. So I thought it would be a good idea to recommend that it might be good to have newsletters. Or, for example, some of the SONACs had outreach program committee, while others didn't have like a formal outreach program committee. It is recommendable, I think, to have a program committee. So this was kind of my understanding of the responses, and that's how I captured the data, and that's how I came up with the recommendations. But as you noted, and I think it's a very valid point, it has to be more action-based, and I agree with that, and I will modify it to reflect that. But what I'm also interested to know is whether people that have actually read the document, whether they think they can think of other recommendations that I might have missed out on, that it would be good to add to these recommendations if anyone thinks that we should add more. But that's about it. Thank you.
Farzi, while we stay on that point, I put in the chat box, I put another way to, for instance, make the word outreach strategy more action-oriented and specific. So it could say each AC and SO should have a strategy for outreach to parts of their targeted community, and that is whoever they think their target community is, that may not be adequately represented at the time. And that would mean that the strategy for outreach differs over time. We could find ourselves in the business constituency having very light representation from Latin America, and our strategy for 2018 might be that that's where we're going to devote our outreach resources. So, Farzi, would that be acceptable as, for instance, adding action to number 5?
Yes, certainly. I totally agree with that. I don't know what sort of phrasing we want to use, but I think this is the approach that we should take, which is be more action-based. So I can copy and paste this language that you have, Steve, here into the document if everyone else agrees.
Farzi, before we turn to Cheryl, I put it in the document to make things easy, but of course we can take it back out. But I wanted to also let you know that Mark Carvel, before you joined, gave us another bullet on how the GAC does outreach to non-GAC members at different government gatherings. And I have pasted that into the GAC portion of your review document earlier in the call. Thank you. Cheryl?
Thanks, Steve. Cheryl, for the record. I'm leaving myself in the queue, but I'm going to go to Caruso first. Caruso, over to you.
Yes, Steve, I agree with you that thanks to this 4 or 5 item, but as you proposed, it should be textual elements in respect to each of these recommendations. That's what you proposed. The only thing that you need, what you proposed in the chat, to slightly modify the last portion of that, may not be adequately represented at the time. It's quite vague. Are you saying that may not be representative at the time? Because represented different from representative. Something may be representative for region A or region B or C, or but not for region D. So maybe you need to slightly modify that as a guidance, and then maybe up to Farzi to provide, if she has time, explanation for each of these 5 bullets. Thank you.
If at least I could see it saying adequate participation instead of represented, who do not have adequate participation.
Yeah.
How about that? Thank you. I just made that change. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Back to me, Cheryl Langdonor. While we were capturing things that had gone on in the chat, and I was certainly keen to make sure that that Farzi picked up on what was going on in the chat, as in particular from interventions such as Mark was making, I used a very simple term, outreach needs to be fit for purpose. And of course, the purpose may be quite variable between the different ACs and SOs. So what I'm hearing is that whilst we've done a first reading through on this particular topic, we do have, I think, still considerable wordsmithing that needs to be done on the recommendation section to make it more actionable and to take into account what has been discussed today. So to that end, I'm going to suggest that we make the working on that an action item for our sub-team, and that we extract, for the want of a better term, the modified recommendation section based on interventions and input from today, send it to the list so we wake those people up who are not on this call and are only perhaps watching the list, and ask for online contributions directly into the Google Doc or to the list in response to the section. To assist Fawzi, if rather than you having to trawl through everything. Now that may shake up some more input, and I think what we might do is take a small part of next week's agenda time to come back over the just the recommendation section and see what new drafting has come out of that. I think it's a little, it's very difficult for us to try and wordsmith any more in today's call with the time we have available, but it's quite clear that we need to hone in on some greater detail. These recommendations in these sections are very important, and we certainly definitely need to get our language as optimally designed as possible. So if there's no more requirement for anyone to make some comments on this matter now, our homework assignment for the outreach aspect will be to assist the drafting team with list work and with direct work on via the Google Doc to improve the drafting of text. We will have a look at that text drafting and where we're up to on that in next week's call. We will dedicate no more than 15 minutes on that. So if you have substantive input to make on redrafting, you really do need to make it in advance of the call, so that what we are looking for is minor polishing, minor comments, and hopefully the building of consensus on recommendations for this section. That's going to bring us to now deciding what the majority of you would like to have as the topic for our discussion at next week's call. And just to remind you, our call on the 9th of February will be at 0500 UTC. That's a time zone which notoriously for this group is not particularly well attended. So again, it's pretty important that we do work in the very short amount of period that we have between our meetings online and directly to the Google Docs, so that we see this as a generational of drafting exercises, not just a one meeting, one shot, move on, because I don't think we can afford to do that at this stage. The other thing I think might be worthwhile noting for overall these recommendations is that what we're aiming for, and I believe what we're aiming for at a relatively high level, is of course something that's going to be a continuous improvement program. So by the sharing of best practices and the encouragement of the ACs and the SOs to continually look at those and continually improve their accountability in the various forms that we're suggesting, that's, I would like to think, the end game, and that probably needs to be captured somewhere earlier in the document. So now we need to open the floor for suggestions on topics for next week's Thrill Packed and Exciting Exercise. And not only topics, but a volunteer or two preferably from Drafting Team 1, but not limited to Drafting Team 1, for our single topic discussion for next week. So, floor's open. What is it you would like to discuss? And I do need to wrap this call up very quickly. Many of us have back-to-back calls today, and that means if we can finish this call a few minutes earlier, some of us can at least get onto the next call on time. Stephen Farsi, do you have any suggestions for the topic if we're not going to choke it out of the rest of the group?
I would do participation, Cheryl.
Sounds like a plan to me, Steve. Is there any objection to participation being the single topic for discussion at next week's thrill-packed and exciting exercise?
Faison is speaking here, Cheryl. I agree with Steve, the only thing is that what aspect of participation are we going to cover? Because outreach, I think, wasn't it a part of, like, also participation? So what aspect of participation should we work on? Is participation in their deliberation of the constituencies and SONACs?
Thank you, Farzi. If I could answer that, it's Steve. Outreach is finding part of your partner community that either doesn't even know you exist or has not yet decided to participate at all. They're not joining. That's what outreach is about. Participation would say, given the people that have decided to be members of NCSG or decided to be members of GAC or BC, how is their participation at decision-making, discussions, drafting, and election? How do they participate in that activity? And is the best practice a way that ensures that we are open for all to participate because they've indicated they want to? Are there barriers to participation? And those could be linguistic, vocabulary, technology, time zones, culture. Are there opportunities for capture where one group or one industry or one company can drive things in a certain way because they're willing to do all the work? I mean, we've all seen that in the working groups we've been in before. Every once in a while, somebody decides to take on the work, and it might just be because they care, or they might be trying to advance their own interests. And maybe that is a form of capture if others don't bother to take up the pen. So participation says that of the target community that has chosen to participate in your ACSO or subgroup, what are the methods that you use to ensure that they can participate actively at the development of positions and documents, decisions that are reached, and elections? How's that sound, Farzi?
Steve, can I jump in? So if we qualify the question to the group then, as participation methods and mechanisms, then that's given us a set of control points for our discussion for next week.
That's certainly true, Cheryl, and that was one of the questions we asked, and the responses then, we can mine those responses and summarize what each group does in the area of participation, just as we did for transparency and outreach.
Okay. Well, I think that's what we'll do. So if we can note that will be the topic for next week, unless people have overwhelming objections. You've got limitations then on what could be a very general drift otherwise, and it's not going to be our only pass at the larger topic of participation, but the aspect of participation we'll be looking at in our data capture review next week will be the mechanisms and methods. There may also be limitations that are identified there. Caboose, over to you. Caboose, we can't hear you. Check you're not on mute.
Yeah, do you hear me, please?
We do now. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. In participation, we have to possibly make a distinction between physical participation at physical meeting and other participations. As far as participation at physical meeting concerned, we should be quite clear that no restriction to anyone from any inviting entity for participation is accepted. So if If entity A invites to have an ICANN meeting, that entity should not put a general restriction for any participation. This is quite severe and quite serious, and we have to make it quite clear that. In UN, if a country invites people and put restriction to other countries, that country would not be accepted to hosting the meeting unless he totally advised that there is no restriction for participation. That is why sometimes we are not able to have international meetings because they have some restriction for participation. So there should be no restriction for any participation. Otherwise, that host will not be accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Cheryl, for the record. And, of course, what we're doing here is analysing the declared participation methodologies that the ACs and the SOs have provided us with in the data capture. What you've described is undoubtedly a desirable outcome of our recommendations. So let's go through the process to get to the end point, which I doubt very many people would disagree with. Barriers to participation should be minimal, if not non-existent. So, Caboose, are you able to do the analysis? It has been left to the co-rapporteurs to date. We have a number of people in the drafting team. I note, Caboose, you did not join the drafting team, but I do know that you have a deeply held interest in all of this. So did you wish to volunteer to do the analysis of the data captured from the surveys on this topic? And it's okay to say no, but I did wonder if you wanted to say yes. Back to you.
I wish I could have said yes, but unfortunately at this time I am one-hand person because my left hand has been operated after this problem that I have, and I still it is in the plaque, so I have some, handicapped situations. I wish to do that, but it takes some time. Thank you.
Understood. No, thank you. Understood. I would like to think then that with what limitations your current mobility and disability is allowing you, you'll be able to contribute to any list discussion. Is this Tatiana stepping up? Tatiana? Are we taking your name down here? I'm sure that Fazi will help, but I think if we can put you down and ask Fazi to assist you along with Steve and the others from Drafting Team 1, it'll stop it looking like, because it is not the case that the rapporteurs are leading the direction. We are, in fact, recording the direction wherever possible, and we try and keep our personal interventions clearly delineated from our administrative roles. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the date for our next meeting. You know there are some action items on us all. I want to thank Tatiana for stepping up. I appreciate that greatly. I want to thank the staff. I want to thank each and every one of you, and I would like to think that other than a lot of on list and in a document collaboration between now and next week, we will have as many of you at 0500 UTC on the 9th of February as we had today. With this, at a few seconds ahead of the hour, I'm going to finish up today's call and ask that the recording now be stopped. Thank you, one and all. Goodbye.